We have started a new series. Jeannie talked about giving last week, but we have a new series called Gifts from Above, and today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And today I'm going to give you, I'm not going to talk about the individual gifts so much as the groups of gifts and how they relate one to another. If you notice, and those who have read their Bible, if you don't, I will break it down for you. There are three sections that talk about different gifts. So we're going to talk about those three sections a little bit, and we're going to talk about how each one of us is individually designed to function a certain way. That, you know, sometimes we think those people that don't think like us are broken, that there's something wrong with them. Like, why does that person talk all the time? They don't need to do that. Or why does this person do this? Now, I'm not giving an excuse for lack of diligence in your life, but I'm saying certain gifts express themselves certain ways. And one of the ways is certain people have different personalities. And there's tons of personality tests out there, right? There's DISC, there's, I forget the other ones, but there's like three or four that I know of, personality, and there's probably hundreds throughout the world, different personality tests. And they all give us an insight to who we are. But we even give one, we have DISC in our growth track. But there are other, but there's another personality survey that's in the Bible. So we're going to go through that one, because that one's going to be very interesting in the next couple of weeks. Right now, I want to tell you that we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, the differences to the different groups of gifts, and how to begin to learn what are your specific gifts. Started out, our key verse for this series is James 1:16-17. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation nor shadow due to change." And I think it's interesting, a couple of things. First, all good gifts come from above. Everything that we are able to give is because we've received something from God. Amen. Everyone. And God gives something to everyone so that they will have something to give. Isn't that amazing? And you may sit there and go, you know, I'm not particularly anything. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I've done all these things. What would God, how could God possibly use me? But I'm telling you, God can use you. God will use you if you will give yourself over to him. He didn't come to heal those that were not sick. He came for those who needed him. And we are all those who needed him. And what's the great thing about these gifts is it gives us, remember I've been talking about leaking Jesus for the last month or two? This is how you leak Jesus, by allowing your gifts to flow. And we have so many amazing gifts in this congregation. Like I said, we have so many different ministries. And each one is being led by somebody who's allowing their gifts to flow. And that's what you have to do. You have to just go out there, take a chance, allow your gifts to flow from you. So we're going to talk about those gifts. But the other thing I want to tell you about is that God says here, he says, coming down from the Father of lights. I love that it says the Father of lights. It doesn't say the Father of light. It says the Father of lights. Guess whose those lights are? That's right. You are the lights. You're the lights. This is how we leak Jesus. We become the light that we were called to be. We learn to allow our gifts to flow from us. We don't have to be spooky about it. We don't have to be really, you know, kind of odd about it. It can just be a natural flow of who we are. When I or Jeannie give a word to somebody on the street, we don't sit there and go and start suddenly speaking King James English. Thou shall, you know what we're saying? We just speak to them the normal words that come in life, words that they can understand, the way they can relate to that. And God ministers through those words. You have that equal ability. You don't have to learn Christianese. You don't have to learn this secret language. All you have to do is hear and present what God gives you. Amen? God has given us all gifts. First thing I want to tell you is how special each of you are. Sometimes we fail to remember, in a planet of 8 billion plus people, how unique each one of us is. There's not one person in this room that's like another. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. We all have our struggles. But God has uniquely called each of us for a time such as this. You are not out of time. You are not before your time. You are not coming after your time. You are in your time right now. And God wants to use you right now. The problem that we do is we limit ourselves in thinking about what we're capable of doing. But God didn't limit himself by your capabilities. That's why he gives gifts. But he said this to us in Zechariah 4:6. not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. You see, each of you have the ability to give something. And we're going to talk about that in more detail in the weeks to come, in the three different areas, but I want you to know how wonderful you are. In Psalms 139:14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are the works, my soul knows it very well. You are wonderfully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Think about that. I want you to say that to yourself. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, we're so easily dismissed by other human beings, aren't we? We're so easily told that we're worthless. We're driving down the street and we accidentally get in someone's way. What's a response? A big finger in the air, right? We're worthless. We're just complete failures. That's what the world keeps trying to tell us. And everyone's trying to struggle against everyone else to get to the top of the heap. And I'm telling you, you don't have to struggle. Just be who you are in Christ. Just be free to be that person. It doesn't mean you're perfect. But God, Jesus, will never refuse anyone that the Lord sends to him. He never turns people down. So wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, know that God is not going to turn you down. All you have to do is humble yourself and come to him, and he will take you from there. Amen? So if you're in this room thinking, man, I'm not like the rest of these people. No, you're just like us. Come on. Oh, this isn't where I belong. No, this is where you belong. This is exactly where you belong. Because we are all here learning to grow in Christ day by day. None of us have attained, none of us have reached that pinnacle of perfection that somehow some Christians think they achieve. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And I want to emphasize something here. Created in Christ. You were created not outside of God, you were created in God. Think about that. You were created in God. You're a new creation. You're for good works. That new creation is created in Christ, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has good works for you to walk in. Amen. But it's still your choice. Will you walk in those good works? Will you move out and start walking in those better works? Or will you limit yourself by your own limitations? I want to tell you something. If Moses had limited himself by his own limitations, he would never have delivered Israel from Egypt. If Peter had limited himself by all his multiple failures, he would have never have been the leader of the church. If John had limited himself by his weakness and by his inability to get out of boats and stuff, he would have never became the apostle of love. You see, everyone has natural limitations. But in Christ, we have no limitations. I'm telling you, there's people in here that become the CEO of the next major company. There's people in this room that can start a business. There's people in this room that can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. There's people in this room that can move in the power and the might of God. All you have to do is say, I am not my limitation. Because with God, all things are possible. So now we got these three sections of gifts. And the first set of gifts we're going to do, I'm doing them kind of in order. The first set of gifts is called the motivational or redemptive gifts. They're in Romans 12:3-8. Let's read. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Remember, God has assigned a measure of faith. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. That's very important because we all don't act the same way. I have torn motorcycle apart and put all the engines back together when I was a kid. I always had a couple of spare parts left over, but the thing just kept running, so I just kept going for it. Where did this thing go? Starts. We're good. So we, through many, are one body in Christ, individual members, one of another. Individual members. God created you individually, and that's so important to know that before we go on to verse 6 here, that you were made uniquely the way you're made. And God made it to where in the body there are no spare parts. We don't have a spare finger hanging out under our arm or something like that, right? We're all vital to what God is doing. Each and every one of you, if I could point to all of you, You are all uniquely made for this time, for this place, and God wants to release himself through you more than you want to release him through you. And that's pretty exciting. That's how we leak Jesus. That's how we get the word out. That's how lives get transformed, not by our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit. So when we go through these gifts, it's important for you to understand that there's a group of Christians out there that believe some of these gifts don't operate anymore. But I'm like, the core reason we have these gifts still exist. Therefore, the gifts must exist and must be allowed to spread and go out and do what they're supposed to do, because it's only through his Spirit that we can be brought into unity. Amen? Verse 8, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teachings. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. And the one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. It's really important to understand that these seven gifts are different. As a matter of fact, the word gift is a different word. The word gift here is charisma. And it's talking about some inward quality or quantity within each of us that's expressed in a certain way. And there's like, you might want to think of these motivational redemptive gifts as channels, the way God channels himself through you, which is uniquely like you. I'm not like Jeannie. I can't stand in line and just prophesy over a person. It has to come to me. It's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? And she's not like me. She can't do some of the things that I can do. And we're not like you. You can do some things that we can't do. Each one of us has an ability to administer the Spirit of God in a different way based upon who God created us to be. Do you get that? And so we are trying to compare ourselves. And a person that says, well, I'm just a server. I'm not a leader. I'm not a I don't do prophecy. I'm not a prophet. And we feel inferior because we're servants. But remember, Jesus said he was a servant. And he said you had to be a servant to be the grace in the kingdom. You had to be a servant to all. So it's only our pride that gets in the way for us to truly accept who we're called to be and not treat it like some secondary thing. Like, I'm not as good as somebody else. All seven of these gifts operated through Jesus at the same time. And we're all a mixture of these as well, but we tend to have a primary motivational gift. And how do you know what your motivational gift is? What motivates you to do things? Amen. See, is it prophecy? Is it teaching? Is it being a servant? Is it mercy? Is it leading? And do you lead the right way, the way Jesus said? You know, what are these qualities? Exhortation. One of my favorite things is exhortation. Why? Because it builds people up. Amen. It builds people up. You know, people need to hear, you're all right, you're going to make it. They need to know that. And they need you to recognize that in them. You want to leak Jesus? You got to leak these things here. Amen? Amen? So we're going to go through each of these in a later message. But I wanted to bring out the basics of what these gifts are. These gifts are not the manifestation gifts, which we'll go to next. These are the motivational or redemptive gifts that God has given every human. Every person has their motivational or redemptive gift. You don't have to ask for it. You just are it. And it's the way God moves through you. Here's the thing, though. We can't cop out. If you're like prophecy people are very black and white, we can't cop out and say, well, I'm a prophetic person, so I don't have to be merciful. I can just be like the Word of God, you know? That's not true. Jesus operated in all seven. And ultimately, we will grow into all seven. But you start somewhere. And so this is a great list for us to study. I look forward to going through this message next week, unless Jeannie just does her thing, and then it'll be the week after. She's really excited. I don't know what happened down there, but she is off the charts excited about what's happening in Cuba. So remember that you are not the solution, but rather a vital part of a much larger body that can only be successful in working in unity. So important. You have what I need. I have what you need. It's learning to walk in humility allows us to work together to accomplish God's goals. Secondly, we have what we call the manifestation gifts. The manifestation gifts are found in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Let's read it. And there's some key points we want to point out here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, this word gifts is different. This word gifts, and I have to look at it because it's kind of an unusual word, piumaikos. Anyway, it has, it. By the way, that word gifts has the connotation of being erethial, non-carnal, spiritual, supernatural in nature. So you'll see that the manifestation gifts are the things that manifest the Holy Spirit's presence. So starting at verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Do you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Now listen, that's important. You were led to mute idols. Now you're not being led to a mute idol. You're being led to someone that you can hear, someone that you can experience, someone that you can share. Amen? See, it's a lot different. So he's saying, like, you were going to those pagan idols. They were mute. But this God speaks. This God talks to you. This God encourages you. This God loves you. This God is real. That was just a fake idol. But God is speaking into all of our hearts. Matter of fact, the Bible says we all hear his voice. But we have to learn how to hear it clearly. It takes time. Okay, let me get back here. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. The one who can say Jesus is Lord, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? Read that for me. The common good. It's not for your good. It's not so I can go up and stand before 10,000 people and show what a great person I am. It's for the common good. See, there's an element of humility that comes with the manifestation of God's presence. Understanding that you are not the whole picture. You are not better than any other person in that room. You are simply there to manifest at that time and that place to these people. And that's a wonderful thing. But it's for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individual as what? He wills. Everyone has gifts. And it's a season for giving. And I'm telling you, I would rather have a prophetic word to give to someone than all the personal charisma I could muster up. You know what I'm saying? If I can come up to someone and just read their mail for a moment, just come up to them and give them a word of knowledge just for an instant, it opens up the door like that, and then the gospel goes right in. I'm telling you, man, medicine goes down better with a spoonful of sugar. It does. Honey. Honey. Yeah, that's it. I like that. There are 9 manifestation gifts I just listed, and these are the way that... So, when Jesus said, wherever 2 or 3 gather in my name, there I'm in their midst. Do you think Jesus flies down from heaven and stands in your midst when there's 2 or 3? How does he do it when there's like 5,000 of these groups coming together at one time? No, what he's saying is this. When you guys come together to minister, to love on one another, I manifest my presence through the gifts I've given you. So when I stand there with Mike and Mike tells me something like, David, I feel like the Lord is saying this. Or Linda says, I feel like the Lord said this. And I feel the presence of God. It's like Jesus is standing right there. See, because we're one with him, he's one with us. And so when God speaks to me through you, it's just as if he's speaking himself. That's why I listen to everyone. I try to listen to everyone that has something to say to me. Because you never know where you're going to hear the next message from God. And I'm going to tell you something. Not everything that comes out of people's mouths is God. You got to judge it against the word of God. But it's important for you to know that God is still moving through his people. And he will continue to do it because that is his plan to bring us in unity. What the church made the mistake some many hundreds of centuries, I mean not hundreds of centuries, but centuries ago, man made the mistake that we tried to change intellectualism for spirituality. And when we canonized the Bible, people said, this is all we need. I love the Word of God. I need the Word of God every moment of every day. But I can't just have the Word of God. I have to have the Spirit of God too. And I have to have Him manifesting. Neither one by themselves are going to bring me into perfection. It is those combined together that bring us to perfection. And the people out there saying that the gifts have ceased and no longer operate are not going to reach there with just their intellect. Now, they do, in all fairness, they do say, well, the Holy Spirit moves on us and uses the Word of God in our lives. And I get that. But I learn so much when someone gives me a word. I went to YWAM the other day, last month. I went to YWAM with their meeting, and they started giving me words, and they were so encouraging. And I could feel the Father speaking to me. Jesus was manifested right in our presence, right there in that moment. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. You go to a prayer meeting, God manifests. All of a sudden, people start giving words to each other, words of encouragement. It doesn't have to be prophecy or the unveiling of some super secret. It can just be a matter that's affecting you at that moment, right? And someone sits there and goes, you know what? I feel like the Lord's saying you're struggling, you're going through a hard time, but you're going to make it. God's got an escape for you. God always gives us an escape, amen? He's always given us escape. He's always given us deliverance. If we'll trust in Him and hold on to Him, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how tough it seems, God is going to give us a route of escape. Amen? Amen? Receive your route of escape today. Amen? Okay, and then thirdly, we have the office gifts. Now, the office gifts are different than the rest. And the word gift, again, is a different word. So it's really important to understand that each time these gifts are talking, they're using different Greek words, but it's translated into the same English word as gift. This one is a little bit simple. This one's doma, and doma means present. God is giving presence. Amen. And so when we go up to Ephesians 4:7-8, it says this: But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. But here's something. Here's a little piece for those that are a little bit more mature and get this. He goes on in the next, where this comes from in the Old Testament. Let's read it in Psalm 68:18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God, what? May dwell there. So one, Jesus is giving gifts, but in the Old Testament, he's receiving gifts that he what? Might dwell there. Through your manifested gifts, Christ is visiting people right there. Think about that. That's what leaking Jesus is all about. That's what we're talking about. Manifesting the Spirit of God wherever you go. Manifesting his love, manifesting his mercy, manifesting his peace and his joy. And you can do that everywhere you go. I went to the grocery store, didn't meet anybody, but I just spread the presence of God everywhere. Amen? And so then he says in Psalms 68:18, you sit on high, leading a host of captives in your train, receiving gifts. So what is it, Lord? Did you give gifts or receive gifts? He did both. See, every time that you allow Jesus to visit somebody, you're giving the gift back to him. Amen. Do you understand? When I go out to someone on the street and I share hope and I share a message of love and I show them and demonstrate to them the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, I'm giving that gift back to God. Every time that I refuse to manifest that gift, I'm taking from God. Does that make sense? Wow. So you have gifts and God wants you to give them away. Because they change lives. Amen. Looking at somebody and saying, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of God's love. You're worthy. You're desired. You're blessed. You're accepted by God. It means everything to people. Pastor JR was telling us when he gave that honey to that mean-looking vato guy, whatever he was, you know. Tattoos going up and down the arm, you know, like, hey, I'll kill you before I look at you twice. You know, you showed him and manifested God's grace. It wasn't some big act of a prophecy, like, and word of knowledge, oh, you have three kids. And, oh, you know, you weren't doing that. You just were manifesting the goodness of God to him. And he broke down crying. Why? Because the gifts break through the barriers. And the intellectual church alone will not get through. But the spiritual church, the church that's operating the spiritual gifts, will break through and dramatically see lives change. Can I do that, Pastor? Am I able to do that? You may be asking. Yes, you can. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be any of these things. You have to be someone willing to step out and take a risk for Jesus. Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to walk up to an angry person? Thank God that Rachel was brave enough to suggest that you went. Because that man thought about that for days and he's still thinking about it. He's still thinking about it. No one ever did that for him. When's the last time someone came up to your car and knocked on your window and gave you honey? No one does that. And suddenly God gives Pastor Clayton 42,000 jars of honey. Go give them out to your neighbors. Don't just eat them all. You'll get sick. Okay? Go hand them out to your neighbors. Make sure they understand this is a gift from FirePoint. Let them know how much they're appreciated and that they're loved. We're not looking. FirePoint didn't come here to gather the healthy people together. We came here to gather the sick people together so they'd become healthy. Amen? Because almost any person that thinks that they're all right ain't all right. So, all right, let's read about this here. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints to the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of the faith. Have we attained the unity of the faith yet in the body of Christ? No. There are churches fighting all over. I'm right, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. None of us have attained that. We're all going there. None of these five gifts will cease to exist. Now, some people, they've taken the apostles and they put them such a high, like no one can be an apostle. But you have to understand, these are gifts. These are functions. They're not about status. I don't sit there and go, I'm an apostle. I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. You know, that's not what we do. It's about being a gift. I'm a gift. You're a gift. We're all gifts. These are gifts that have matured in the body of Christ to the point where the church recognizes them and sets them in office. Many of you are evangelists, but you may not be evangelists in the office of an evangelist. But at some point, if you're diligent and you work among the people and they see the works and the fruit of your ministry, you will be given a title, perhaps, by your local governing body. But it's just a recognition of what you're already doing. Some people think, if I get that title, then I'll become that. It doesn't work that way. You become that, and then maybe you get recognized. But even if you don't, God recognizes you. Amen? Now, we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds, and teachers. Not only in the body of Christ, we have them in every one of the seven pillars of society. We have them in business. You know, you have CEOs. They may not be redeemed gifts, but they are there, right? We have people who are pastors, oftentimes they're managers taking care of people. You know, there's a lot of people manifesting in education, people manifesting in all different areas until the body of Christ comes to the fullness of Christ. Amen? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, we have never gotten there. We're trying. We haven't gotten there yet. Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. these are the three areas of gifts that the New Testament teaches about us. I want you to think about them. There's the motivational redemption gifts. That's kind of an inward gift, the charisma that you personally have. Steve has one. Mike has one. Lupe has one. Everyone has one. It's your primary gift, okay? You are a blend of all of them, but you have a primary gift. And it's the way God channels himself through you. I don't like that word because it sounds very New Agey, but I think it brings in a picture or a description that's easier to understand. Then the second is we have the manifestation gifts. Those are the ones that are the flashy ones that everyone wants. I suddenly know, Nina, that right now you're, you know, and then you tell them something they couldn't possibly know, right? That you couldn't possibly know. And they're like, oh, wow. Everyone loves the flashiness. And that's how God visits us in the spirit. But sometimes it's not that eye-opening. And it's something that's very simple. Just like saying, I know you're struggling. I know you're going through things. And God is going to see you through this. Sometimes it's a simple word that they just need to hear. You know, sometimes you already know it. But when you hear it, it changes everything. I want to tell you, you're going to make it as a couple. I want to tell you, you're going to make it in life. Because God has preordained you to walk in these good works. Amen. He's made them for you. You were made to walk in these good things he's going to give you. Amen? And then we have the office gifts. And these gifts are a present given to the body, but they're a present that God also gave to himself. Because as these gifts are released in the community, in the church, in the community at large, God is receiving back from these gifts every day. Amen? They're a present. Amen. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for just bringing clarity on the different gifts that are described in the Bible, Lord, that we might understand why they were placed there and the purpose that they have. Lord, that we would find our gifts, that we would find out who we are through this series, Lord, at least a better, clearer image of who we are, and that we would find out that, hey, we're really not broken. Some of the things we do are, it's just based upon the main gift that operates, the charisma gift that operates in our life. Father, I thank you for these people for coming today. They could have slept in bed this rainy day, but they came, Father, because they're hungry for you. Lord, we don't ever want to be lukewarm. We know that you don't accept lukewarm. You don't accept cold. You only accept hot. So, Father, we thank you that if there's no fire, there's no point. We want to be on fire for you, God. We want to be doing the things that you've called us to do. Now, Lord, the one thing I haven't mentioned today and what I pray for over the congregation right now is that you would give them the spirit of boldness to manifest what you desire through their lives. Release boldness in them now in Jesus' name. Release the love of God in them right now in Jesus' name. Father, stir them up to good works. Stir them up. Father, help them fan their flames every morning. Help them get up praising, thanking, and praising and worshiping you. God, that they start their day with you, that they walk with you through the whole day until the end. That is my prayer, Lord. Boldness. But Father, I think boldness to give out honey. Yeah. Boldness to walk up to a car. Boldness to walk to your next door neighbor. How many of you have never walked up to the door of your next door neighbor? Why not? This is a perfect opportunity. Let them know. Manifest what God has given you to manifest. Your kindness, your goodness, your love, your gentleness, whatever your giftings are. And if you're here today and you thought, man, what is my giftings? Who am I? And does Jesus really care? I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to tell you how important that it is that you don't pass up this opportunity, because days fly by, weeks go by, months go by, and then one day your life may end before you have a chance to accomplish all you want. The one thing you want to accomplish is to receive God's grace, because that sets your eternity in place. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, or you've slid away and you want to recommit your life to him, we're going to say a prayer. I want you to join us, all of you, to join us in this prayer. I want you to say it with all your heart. Mean it with all that you are. Everyone, say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for manifesting to me. Thank you for your presence. Forgive me for my sins, for all my wrong thoughts and actions. Cleanse me, Lord, as I accept your gift, the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. This day, I declare I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you said that for the first time as an act of faith, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. Raise it high. It's so important that you act on what you just said and that you cement it in your heart. On the count of three, raise your hands high. One, two, three. Let me see those hands go up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine hands. Let's give the Lord a clap. Woo! That is awesome. That is amazing. Woo! I'm gonna have the prayer team come on up now, and we're here to minister. I want to remind you that if you ordered a T-shirt, we have them back there for everyone that signed up. Please get your T-shirts. A growth track in about 15 minutes. Right, stand up with me as I bless you and release you now on this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for these mighty warriors, Father, for these who will go forth and boldly share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, arm them, Father, with their gifts, their manifestations, Father, with whatever gift you desire. And Father, may they be faithful to use it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.